Good morning, everyone. And a very warm welcome to our worship today on the second Sunday after Trinity.
Almighty God,
to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life, in Christ our Lord. Amen.
The reading this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise
to you, O Christ.
I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. One fruit of the Spirit, but nine character traits: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How easy it is to think of these as a set of rules. Keep these and all will be well. But somehow it doesn't work like that. It's so easy to backslide, no consistency. Sometimes love, joy, peace, and the rest are a bit thin on the ground. So I'm thinking, where am I going wrong? The fruit is not something I have to work at, but these nine are graces bestowed on me by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit working in me. So step one, let go of me, open up, and allow God in. But now I'm going to include you too. Let him take over, and our world will change. The life we live will be his life, working in us and changing us. Think of these nine graces as seeds God has planted in us. They grow slowly, in fits and starts. Sometimes they grow limp and yellow, but they do grow. I think of the sunflowers grown from seed down by the side of our hall. How discouraging it was to see them, week by week, being eaten and nibbled away. But they have kept on growing, with careful nurturing and a good talking to. We display these graces in fits and starts, but there is also the potential, because our faith ensures the Holy Spirit is working not from the outside, but from within, gradually building us into God's own image. Let go of the me and our wills which control our lives, and allow God to live through us. And I want now to introduce you to somebody called Darlene Diebler-Rose. She was a missionary nurse who went with her doctor husband, Russell, to set up a mission station in New Guinea. But barely they had begun than the war started and the Japanese invaded. And they literally fled for their lives into the jungle. Inevitably, they were captured, and they were both sent to prison camps, separate prison camps, and Darlene never saw Russell again. Darlene spent 4 years in Kampala prisoner of war camp in the jungle, isolated. There were no Red Cross parcels or letters arriving for her, and she faced beatings and torment for crimes that she never committed. Daily forced labor and bouts of beriberi, malaria, dysentery left her frail and debilitated. Her life hung by a slender thread, at the mercy of unprincipled Japanese soldiers. Life in the camp epitomized life without the Holy Spirit, described in our reading from Galatians. Barbaric sinful acts, sexual immorality, hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, selfishness, envy, on and on. And yet, despite the horrors of her life, she knew that her future lay secure in God's hands. Only God could understand her pain and her suffering. Totally dedicated to her calling, and with dogged determination, she remained faithful and humble, resolute to bring light to this world of darkness. Memorizing phrases from the Bible and hymns enabled her to be tolerant, to control her fear and anger. Those well-known words meant so much to her. And her demeanor and her leadership was recognized throughout the camp, and she became a barrack room leader, barrack room 8. And her compassion amongst all the prisoners resulted in many inmates wanting to join her nightly Bible and prayer sessions. So taking that farming image from our gospel reading, Darlene prayed unceasingly and listened to God's words, telling her to keep her hand on his, looking ahead, not wistfully thinking of what might have been. God was guiding the plough, and his power kept her steady, just walking alongside her, step by step, moment by moment. Of course, Darlene was answerable to the camp commander, Yamji, who could be deadly ruthless. And yet Darlene, as barrack leader, was often called to his office for instructions. Now, this particular occasion, he was breaking the news of Russell's death. He expected her to be distraught. And he said, "You have been very kind to the other women. Don't lose your smile." There was chink in his armor. And Darlene said, "I don't sorrow like other people who have no faith. I want to tell you about Jesus. He's the Son of Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. I believe that God opened up this wonderful opportunity to lay the plan of salvation before Yamji. Tears coursed down his cheeks as she continued, "He died for you. He puts love in our hearts, even those who are our enemies. That's why I don't hate you, Mr. Yamji. Maybe God brought me to this place and his time to tell you he loves you." And with tears running down his cheeks, Yamji hastily went into his bedroom. After the war, by coincidental word of mouth, Darlene learnt that Yamji now owned a bicycle repair shop, and he bitterly regretted being so cruel. He was a changed man. I was very moved by this biography. What an exemplary life. Darlene became at one with the Apostle Paul when he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." The fruit of the Spirit became totally part of her persona. Think of yourselves. I think of myself. What do you think people might recognize in you and me? Would it be patience? Or gentleness? Or joy? On the other hand, can you or I recognize where our prayers are needed for extra Holy Spirit help to tighten us up where we're failing? Self-control. Is there a short fuse hiding somewhere, ready for the merest provocation? Look around us. Is extra generosity needed? There is so much need in our community and around our world. Darlene prayed, "Lord, if I come out of this war alive, may I not be bitter or cynical, but like a sweet-smelling, fragrant incense of Christ." What a wonderful challenge for us, to become a sweet-smelling fragrance of Christ. We'll have to aim high, won't we? But remember that we have got help at hand. Help not from the outside, but from within. Amen.
In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, may we follow you wherever you may go and wherever you lead us. Bestow on us the fruits of your Spirit. May we continually be looking at the quality of our commitments and ask for the grace not to look back as we place our hands on the plough in your name. May your Holy Spirit guide us into the truth of what we need to know about you and your great love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, we pray for your church across the world. We ask for your blessing on newly ordained ministers and those being confirmed at this time. We pray for our Church of St. Cross, for those who lead the running of this place, and for all who come to worship here. Support us all in whatever capacity we are called to serve you, as we give thanks for the freedom to do this, unlike many across the world who are persecuted for their faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, as we pray for our world, we continue to pray for our Queen in her Jubilee year and all leaders in government, internationally and locally. Grant them wisdom so that their judgments may always selflessly benefit those that they represent. May they live by the Spirit, as you instruct us all to do, addressing and giving help in areas that need support, such as in Afghanistan following the recent earthquake. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father God, thank you for welcoming us into your circle of love. We pray for all those preparing for marriage. You told us to love our neighbours as ourselves, so may we share your love, not only within our families, but with those in our community and further afield. Thank you for those who return that love and include us in their circle of friendship, which brings so much joy to our lives. Make us aware of those who need companionship, and may we be proactive in our responses. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, in a moment of silence, we name in our hearts all who are in need of prayers, all those known to us personally, all on our prayer lists, and those known only to you. We pray for all carers working in our hospitals, care homes, or their own homes, that they may show compassion and reflect your love in their commitment. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for the souls of the departed, those whom we continue to love, who have passed from this life recently, thinking particularly of the 1,000 or more lives lost in the Afghanistan earthquake, the deaths following the shootings in Oslo, those in our year's mind. May they all rest in eternal peace. We pray for those who mourn, that all who are grieving may find comfort and healing in their loss. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we thank you for your word and the messages that we have heard today. In order to be your disciples, the stakes are high. It is only by looking at our deeds that we discover how near or far we are from giving what you ask of us. As we go from this church and out into the world to live the week ahead, help us to deny ourselves and carry our cross every day without turning away from you, as we learn to put your spirit of truth into practice. May your kingdom come and your will be done, as the graces you bestow on us grow in each one of us every day. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers
for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge of the love of God and of his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.